And now, Saturday Night Theatre.
The action of Malcolm Stewart's new radio play, Folly, takes place in London at the turn of the century.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, my dear.
What's a fine gentleman like you doing on a night like this?
What's a pretty girl like you doing asking questions?
There's no need to stand here talking, sir. My room's just round the corner.
That sounds convenient.
It's a nice warm room, sir. Only a minute away.
I must come and see it someday.
Well, why not now, sir?
I'm afraid I can't, my dear. I'm going to catch this hansom.
That's the Mrs. Hansom does, sir.
I'm glad to hear it.
Cab, sir.
If you please. Goodbye, my dear. Thank you for entertaining me. Here's 5 shillings.
Thank you, sir.
Where to, sir?
Drop me at the intersection of Rochester Row and Vauxhall Terrace.
Very good, sir.
You're a gentleman, sir. A real gentleman.
A gentleman? I wonder what that is.
The honorable member asks why we should investigate such matters. He wants to know why we should poke our noses into stinking places. The answer is not because we like bad smells. We do not seek out sources of pollution merely to expose them. We seek them out in order to suppress them, to remedy their causes.
Yeah.
Does he think the body social can thrive when it supports such centers of infection? He wants to look the other way, to say such things must be, but do we have to see them? I say we must. There is a whole dark world in London. We must not turn aside, but seek it out. We must go down into its depths. We must illuminate its dark ways. And having seen, take action. Radical, firm action to end this social evil.
Cab, sir.
Thank you.
Where to, sir?
Drop me at the intersection of Rochester Row and Vauxhall Terrace.
Hello, Teddy.
Do I intrude?
Only on a brown study. Sit down.
Thanks. Well, that was a very good speech you made the other evening.
I'm glad you liked it.
I didn't say I liked it. I said it was good. It was well conceived, well timed, and well delivered. It should enhance your reputation.
That was how it was intended.
That was what I gathered.
I don't see any point in making other kinds of speeches.
I don't see any point in making speeches at all. But let that fall by the wayside.
Dear Edward, that remark was a justification.
A justification of what?
Of great talent allied to little industry. You have fine gifts, if only you would use them.
I would use them if I could see a reason. Unfortunately, I haven't your ambition. There is no driving force to overcome my reservations. For instance, I would hesitate to take up one attitude in public, however sincerely I held it, while retaining a wholly different attitude, equally sincerely, in private.
I gather you are telling me, in parliamentary language, that I'm a hypocrite.
Not at all. I am telling you, you are a politician. A hypocrite is a stupid man who lies about his inconsistencies. A politician is a clever one who ignores them.
I feel flattered. All the same, I cannot accept your strictures if what you have in mind is what I suspect.
What I have in mind is the difficulty of reconciling a fervent moral crusade against city vices with regular visits to a certain establishment.
An establishment which also enjoys your patronage.
True, but then I do not wish to deprive the poor of their pleasures.
Nor do I. I would rather they took their pleasures in more delectable circumstances.
You mean you would turn houses of ill fame into houses of fair fame?
Exactly.
I see. I didn't realize it was simply a question of raising the standard of living.
Good afternoon, my dear Manners.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister.
Your speech the other day was very well received. I arrived in time to hear the peroration.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
And when are we going to hear from you, my dear Edward? It's a long time since you dealt us one of your famous hands. I'm sure you have plenty of cards up your sleeve.
I'm glad you think so, Prime Minister. I must take my coat off and look for them.
You must take off your coat. That's just what you must do. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
The PM conveys his meaning with some subtlety, don't you think?
Indeed. He never says anything clearly, yet he leaves you in no doubt whatever.
That reference to taking your coat off. One takes one's coat off for 2 reasons only. To get down to hard work or to have a good fight. In the house, these activities are usually identical.
My dear James, the implication of his remark did not escape me. He was offering both admonition and encouragement. By the way, talking of hard work and fighting, are you going to the Douglas's reception?
Indeed I am. I have a very good reason for doing so.
Sir Horace and Lady Sally, the Earl and Countess of Dalte, Colonel and Mrs. Plunkett, Miss Varden Faye, the Lord Doxford, Mr. James Manners.
Mr. Manners?
Lady Cynthia.
How good of you to come.
Not good, Lady Cynthia. Fortunate and privileged. All London must be here.
All London that counts, Mr. Manners.
Of course. Where else would they be? You are the hostess supreme, Lady Cynthia.
Oh, how charmingly put. Cyril, did you hear?
What, Million?
Mr. Manners has just paid me a compliment.
Ah, Manners, my dear fellow. So glad you managed to get along.
He says, I am the hostess supreme, Cyril.
What a striking expression. It has a continental flavor.
Mr. Manners is a very striking person. Some of the papers are beginning to call him the voice of the country's conscience.
Oh, then he must meet Fiona. She's a great connoisseur of people's consciences.
I have already met your daughter, sir. To be quite frank, she's one of the reasons I took great care to come to your reception.
She'll be most flattered. She's about somewhere, talking to everyone.
In that case, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and find her.
Pray do so, Mr. Manners.
Thank you, Lady Cynthia.
What a charming fellow. Has he any money?
Miss Douglas.
Mr. Manners, how nice to see you.
I hesitate to use the word nice in your case, Miss Douglas. In your case, the appropriate expression is beautiful.
You're very flattering, Mr. Manners, but I'm not sure flattery becomes you.
It's very disconcerting to hear the truth described as flattery, Miss Douglas. I assure you I spoke no more.
Very well, I'll accept that. I must, in view of the accolade bestowed upon you.
What accolade is this?
Isn't it in all the papers? Haven't you become the country's conscience?
If the papers say I have, then they've got hold of the wrong end of the stick, as usual. No one can become a country's conscience. They can speak for their own, and with good luck, the country's conscience will answer.
Very true, and how well you put it. Mr. Manners, I read the report of your last speech in the House. It thrilled me.
I'm flattered, Miss Douglas, and very encouraged. If I may say so, it's unusual to find someone so young taking an interest in these, well, difficult matters. What occupies most young ladies is not social problems, but society.
Mr. Manners, I've been brought up in the heart of society, and I know its limitations. Etiquette, snobbery, and polite dissimulation, sometimes it sickens me. What one longs for are principle, sincerity, and the fire of true conviction. All these were in your speech, Mr. Manners. I shall follow your career with interest.
If you are going to follow my career with interest, Miss Douglas, I shall pursue it with determination.
Lord and Lady Monkton, Sir Ernest and Lady Bell, General Manson, Miss Snell, Countess Swaddle, the Honorable Edward Starling.
Edward, my dear boy.
Cynthia.
How are you? It's quite a long time.
It is indeed. Most remiss of me.
But you're so busy with your parliamentary duties.
Not duties, Cynthia. Gestures. It's the gestures, not the duties, that fill one's day.
I don't believe it. Cyril, listen to him.
What, Lydia?
Ted is being cynical and wicked, as usual. There is no hope for him.
If there's no hope, what's the good of being wicked? How are you, my dear boy?
Thank you, Cyril, as well as can be expected for a man of straw who lacks a backbone.
Oh, dear, it sounds most ineffectual. You'll have to meet our daughter.
I shall be delighted. I have not yet had that privilege, but I have heard a lot about her.
Oh, Fiona is a most determined girl. She has views on everything and great energy. I must confess, I am sometimes a little worried. I'm afraid there's a danger of her turning into one of these new women.
Then let me meet her, and I will beg her not to. It is all these girls turning into new women that is causing so many men to turn into old women.
Your argument sounds very deep, Edward, dear, and I'm not sure I follow it. But I know Fiona will.
In that case, with your permission, I will seek her out and expound it to her.
Please do so. What a charming man.
Charming? Pots of money. Pity he's no ambition.
And will you be speaking in the debate tomorrow?
Certainly. If I can catch the speaker's eye.
So, really, it's the campaign you're mounting.
Oh, yes. With all its tactics and its strategy and its maneuvering behind the scenes. Does it interest you?
I find it fascinating. You're fighting for a cause. That's what thrills me.
I find that most encouraging. One feels the need so much for someone to confide in. Someone outside the Westminster vortex. Would it be asking too much of you if...
I should welcome it.
In that case, you shall be my confidant. I will tell you everything. All my plans and hopes and fears.
I shall be most honored. You must come down and visit us at Kingston.
That would be delightful.
I'll ask my mother to invite you. Someone I think you know is bowing to us.
Someone I know indeed. An old friend. Come and be introduced, my dear Teddy. The Honorable Edward Sterling, Miss Fiona Douglas.
I guessed it was. I hoped it was, and I am not mistaken.
How do you do, Mr. Sterling?
How do you do, Miss Douglas?
Edward is not only an old friend, but a fellow backbencher.
Ah, yes. I've heard about you, Mr. Sterling.
I am surprised, Miss Douglas. I don't make stirring speeches which arouse enthusiasm like Mr. Manners.
No, but you do make striking interjections which attract attention, Mr. Sterling.
She's got you there, Teddy.
My plea in mitigation, Miss Douglas, is that I only do so accidentally on my off day.
And what pray do you do intentionally when you're on form, Mr. Sterling?
The same as I do every night when I go to bed, Miss Douglas. Sleep some.
Are you sure you're being quite sincere, Mr. Sterling?
I always sleep sincerely, Miss Douglas. I keep my insincerity for my waking moments.
So I perceive. Now, I must ask you both to forgive me. I can see my mother wishes to make an introduction.
Of course. Miss Douglas. That's a striking-looking girl. Do you think I upset her?
I don't see why. She has brains as well as looks.
I feel she likes people who are serious, or appear to be.
You raise my hopes.
Indeed.
Looks, brains, and a will... What more could a man desire in a wife to help him build a career?
One small item. A sense of humor.
Oh, come, that's asking too much of any woman.
It's the cement that binds the rest together.
Cement or not, I'll take what I can see. Mark my words. That's the girl I'm going to marry.
Vauxhall Terrace, sir.
Thank you. Here you are.
Thank you, sir. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I believe I am expected.
Will you please come in, sir?
Thank you.
May I take your hat and coat, sir?
Thank you.
Will you come this way, sir? A gentleman. By appointment, madame.
Ah, come in, my friend.
Dear lady.
Sit down, my dear Teddy.
Thank you.
Tell me all the news. The brandy is beside you.
Ah, very comforting.
And how are you?
Well, but bored.
As usual. what are we to do?
I leave that to your discretion.
I always do my best. But you're not easy. What did you think of her?
As far as I could see, extremely pretty. But one needs more time than is required to take one's hat and coat off to exercise judgment in these matters.
Well, at least it gives you some idea. The way to judge a woman quickly is to put her into uniform. Dress her as a maid or a nurse. If you don't like what you see, there's no need to take the matter further. It saves embarrassment, especially for a girl.
You're very thoughtful.
One must be thoughtful to be discreet. Shall I call her in?
Not yet. I prefer to talk a little.
I'm flattered. I would be if I did not know your temperament. You like to take your time to weigh a situation. You don't rush in.
Like a friend, James.
He's direct, I grant.
Direct, mon Dieu. I brought him a girl on one occasion, and he had her stripped stark naked before I could effect an introduction.
Yes, he knows what he wants and takes it. Have you seen him recently?
That's the very question I was going to ask.
Then I gather you haven't.
Indeed, no. For all I know, he may have left the country.
I don't think he's left it. On the contrary, he keeps going down there.
Oh. There is a reason.
More than a reason. A young lady.
Indeed. And do you suspect a marriage?
I know James. It's already fixed, in his mind at least.
So, I'll lose a client. A good one.
I don't think you need worry. There's only one thing James would allow to interfere with his arrangements.
And that is?
His career.
If only we were all so single-minded.
How dull we should be. I don't envy James his ambition. All the same.
You find there is something missing.
In my life? Yes.
You are depressed.
A little.
You must look for someone.
If it were a question of looking, there'd be no trouble. There's something stimulating in the search. It's finding that's upsetting.
And you have found?
Perhaps.
Tell me about her.
Well, don't worry. It won't last.
What is wrong?
The circumstances are difficult and the person impossible.
Oh, don't tell me she's a lunatic shut up behind the walls of an asylum.
No, she's a prig, imprisoned in the splendors of her own self-satisfaction.
Oh, dear. So, what are you to do?
Forget her. Now, would you like to ask your little girl in?
How wise you are.
You rang, madame?
Yes, Sheila. Will you fill a gentleman's glass, please?
Certainly, madame.
I'm going to my room. Will you excuse me?
Of course.
Sheila, madame, attend to all the gentleman's requirements.
Certainly, madame.
Mr. Manners.
Ah, Miss Douglas.
They told me I should find you on the terrace.
I was taking a last look at this wonderful view. What a vista.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Kimpton's a lovely place. I do hope you've enjoyed your weekend.
I have indeed. Wonderful surroundings, charming people. And your parents are delightful.
I'm so glad. Perhaps we shall see you here again soon.
I trust I may have that opportunity. As a matter of fact, your mother told me that I shall be receiving an invitation for your ball next month.
Oh, good. Then I may look forward to...
You may. We shall revert to all the subjects we've discussed so ardently these last 2 days.
And carry them further, I hope. We've only begun to probe them.
Of course. We must carry everything further. One day, Miss Douglas, you must do me the honor of visiting my humble estate in the company of your parents.
I'd love that.
It cannot match the beauty of Kimpton. But you might feel it's a place not unworthy to be honored by your presence. One day.
Oh, look, I believe they're sending the car around here for you. Aren't those your cases being carried out?
What a magnificent vehicle. The Dion Buton, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I don't know what it's called, but it's very fast. There's no danger of your missing your train now. Shall we go down to it?
Let us. I shall never forget this view. And I shall always think of you when I think of it, Miss Douglas.
You're very gracious. By the way, how's your friend? Oh, I forget his name for the moment.
Teddy Sterling.
That's right. His cynicism did not become him.
It's only a mask he hides behind. He's a good fellow, really. And brilliant. I'm very fond of him.
He could go far, it's clear. But what holds him back? And why does he assume that pose? It's such a pity.
That is two ways of asking the same question. Teddy seems to have a fatal flaw. He lacks a force to drive him onwards. Do you remember the christening in the fairy story? All the good fairies brought their gifts, but the bad fairy's gift was that the child should never use them. That child was Teddy.
I see. But in the fairy story, surely everything ended happily.
Only because a beautiful princess came upon the scene. Unfortunately, there are no beautiful princesses nowadays. And life is not a fairy story.
What a pity. Thing. But I mustn't keep you talking. You've a train to catch.
It is only that regrettable necessity that forces me to take my leave. Au revoir, Miss Douglas. I look forward to seeing you again. Soon.
And I too. Au revoir, Mr. Mallers.
I noticed they were very thick over the weekend, Malia.
Yes, they seem to have a lot of interests in common, Cyril. I think they're going to become very good friends.
More than friends, I trust, Madeira. I've been making discreet inquiries. These pots of money.
We're still three men short. How extraordinary. The problem is usually who to omit.
You've included James Manners, Mama.
Of course. He's top of the list. I take it that meets with your approval.
Oh, yes.
I thought you seemed to be getting on very well together over the weekend.
He's very entertaining and well-informed and able.
A coming man, in fact.
I would say so.
I think he likes you, my dear.
I think he finds my conversation stimulating.
I don't think the stimulation is limited to your conversation, darling. I wouldn't be at all surprised.
What, Mama?
My dear, I think you should prepare yourself for a declaration.
Do you mean a proposal?
I do, and very soon. Are you surprised?
No, I suppose not.
I think it would be a very good match. You would make a wonderful couple. And as you said, he's a coming man.
I did not say that, Mama. You
no,
did.
But you agree, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Now, how are we going to complete the list? Three more men. What about Mr. Sterling?
Teddy Sterling, of course. What a good idea.
He just passed through my mind.
My dear James.
My dear Teddy.
How are you? I see the press are hailing your latest speech as being full of witty asides.
So I noticed. I must confess, I wondered how they knew. I delivered them in a voice so low that only I laughed.
It comes from having won a witty reputation. After a time, a request for a tram ticket is greeted as a shaft of dazzling brilliance.
Yes, look after your reputation, and your reputation will look after you. Incidentally, I haven't seen you in the house much recently.
I haven't been here. Other matters have concerned me.
Could one of them be a certain young lady whom I know slightly and you know better?
It could. I must confess it. She's been taking up my time. My thought even more.
Would it be presumptuous if I were to anticipate that in the near future I might be able to congratulate you?
It would be presumptuous, but a presumption of high probability.
Ah.
Teddy, I'm going down to Kimpton for the ball next week. And I intend to stake my highest card.
You're going to ask the lady for her hand?
I am.
Then I hope you will let me be the first to congratulate you. They've asked me down for the ball, too. This is the 10th dance, Miss Douglas. May I be allowed to claim it?
You not only may, you must, Mr. Sterling. Your name is on my card.
Then let me take you onto the floor.
Thank you.
This is indeed a brilliant ball, Miss Douglas. Allow me to congratulate you.
Thank you. We always give one ball each year at Kimpton and try to get everyone down to it. I expect you know most of the people.
I recognize a good many old friends. I hope that they recognize me.
Is there any reason they shouldn't?
Probably the last remark I made to them. The trouble with friends is that one takes them for granted and offends them so easily, whereas one is always extremely careful to be polite to one's enemies.
You're being very polite to me, Mr. Sterling. What conclusion am I to draw from that?
The obvious conclusion, that with a person of great charm, it is impossible to be anything other than extremely courteous.
In that case, I wonder if I might ask a great favor of you. I've danced every dance this evening, and I'd welcome a rest. Would you mind if we sat this dance out?
By all means.
Let's go to one of the side rooms. It's cool there. We can sit and talk in comfort. But why should you find life so boring? You've everything to live for, a promising career and a wonderful position in society.
The trouble with society is that one gets to know everyone.
Oh, I agree. Society can be very tedious.
Tedious because it's so repetitive. Always the same faces, with the same voices, repeating the same opinions. One gets the impression they're all characters in a play, dashed off by some author whose mind was only half on the job and who didn't care much for what he was writing.
It is a very limited world. Doesn't it ever occur to you to break out of it?
Break out to what, Miss Douglas?
Mr. Sterling, you've great gifts. Everyone agrees on that.
Suppose I have, Miss Douglas. What am I to do with them?
Mr. Sterling, what am I to do with you?
You talk of a career in public life as if it were fulfilling, but I don't find it fulfilling. I find it frustrating.
Frustrating?
It's exactly like trying to drive across Piccadilly Circus. You want to drive across it, but so does everyone else, and they're all going in different directions.
Yeah, but surely there's the aspect of service. Even if one's personal ambition is thwarted, isn't there the satisfaction of working for the common weal?
Service to society. That's certainly become a popular cry these days. I'm afraid I haven't all that confidence in society.
What do you mean?
Do you recognize the tune they're playing?
It's the state of work.
How appropriate. Look out on the dance floor, Miss Douglas. There's society. All those skaters skating so beautifully. What grace, what skill, what a spectacle. And they believe it's going on forever. They don't suspect the ice is rather thin and underneath the water's deep and dank and dirty.
Oh, Mr. Sterling, what am I to say to you? Why are you so cynical? Why do you always dwell on weakness and failure and the emptiness of things? Of course there's darkness and despair and disillusion. But there's also light and hope and achievement. Look. Look through that window into the night sky. It's clear, the moon is shining, and there are a million stars. It's beautiful and endless and endlessly beautiful. But you've forgotten all that and stand there staring at your own reflection in a muddy puddle.
Miss Douglas, what fire, what passion. It almost seems as if you care.
Miss Douglas!
Mr. Manners, the last dance but one, you come to claim me.
I'm not going to ask you to dance. I'm going to ask you to walk with me on the terrace instead.
I shall like that. It's a lovely night.
Miss Douglas, weeks ago, on this terrace, a certain question first formed in my mind. It's a question I should like to ask you now.
Very well, Mr. Manners.
You must realize I have admired you for a long time and have increasingly enjoyed the pleasure of your company. Now I want to know if I may make that pleasure permanent and admire you not from afar but in the most intimate relationship. What I am asking, in fact, is for your hand in marriage. Fiona, will you be my wife?
Mr. Manners. James. I'm deeply touched that you should do me so great an honor. I, too, have increasingly enjoyed our association and look forward to its continuance with pleasure. I admire you greatly and believe that admiration will not diminish with the course of time. I'll always watch your career with interest and follow your fortunes with concern. In a word, I'll be your friend for life. But marriage...
What, Fiona?
James, marriage is so great a decision. For a woman, the greatest.
You want time to consider it?
Yes. Give me time, James. And I'll give you my answer.
You mean you turned him down?
I put him off.
Oh, but why? I warned you he was going to propose.
I know, Mama.
You didn't seem averse when I mentioned it. Indeed, I got the impression you considered the matter favorably.
I did at the time.
Then what made you change your mind?
I haven't changed it, Mama. I haven't made it up, that's all.
I don't think that's all. I don't think you've told me the whole story. Something happened since I spoke to you.
Yes, it did.
Fiona... Is there someone else?
There is.
Has he proposed?
No.
Is he going to?
I don't know.
Do you think he's interested?
I'm not sure.
Oh, my dear, whatever's going on.
I've fallen in love.
You've fallen in love? Oh, my dear child, it takes two to make a match.
No, Mama.
But do you think all this is wise?
I've made up my mind that I'm going to marry him. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon, Mr. Sterling.
Thank you, Miss Douglas. The pleasure's mine, I do assure you.
I'm afraid I've taken up a great deal of your time. You must have had much more important matters to attend to.
Then showing one of my constituents round the house? Not at all. It's one of my duties.
I'm sure it's not one of your duties to give your constituents tea on the terrace.
No tour of the house is complete without tea on the terrace. Besides, in your case, it's my reward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona. I apologize for using your Christian name. It slipped out. It seemed so natural.
Please don't apologize. Let me call you Edward.
To my friends, I'm Teddy.
Do you count me as a friend?
Indeed, I hope so. Do you count me as one of yours?
No.
I'm sorry, not after all these weeks.
If you're someone's friend, you're one of a number. My feelings for you don't permit any kind of comparison.
I see.
For a true friend, one would go to the limit. For you, I'll go even beyond that.
Fiona.
I'll do what I'm doing now. Place myself in the most humiliating position possible for a woman. I'll show my true feelings and risk your rebuff.
Fiona, my dear.
Teddy, I'm offering myself to you without condition. You may take or reject me, but I can't disguise any longer that I love you very deeply. I cannot live without you. Take me or send me away, but for God's sake, give me your answer.
Fiona. My dear, beautiful, charming Fiona. What answer can I possibly give? There is only one answer. I hope that it will make you happy now. And I hope that it will keep you in happiness always.
They're going to get married.
But do you mean they fixed this up without consulting anyone?
They arranged it between themselves.
It's hardly cricket.
But it's hardly civilized. And that's not the worst.
Not the worst?
Cyril, I can hardly bring myself to tell you.
Come, my dear.
Very well. She proposed to him.
She what?
She proposed to him.
She proposed?
She proposed.
She Good God. It's not even leap year.
The gentleman to see you, madame.
Come in, my friend.
Good afternoon, dear lady.
Sit down, my dear James. This is indeed a surprise. I was delighted when I got your letter.
It's been a long time.
And how are you? What are you doing? Busy as usual?
Yes, very busy. More so than ever.
As you say, you've been away a long time. You know, when you went off without telling me anything, I was hurt.
It was very remiss of me, my dear. But I had many calls on my attention. One in particular.
And that no longer occupies you.
No longer. The dust has blown off the mirror.
And once again you see your image clearly.
I hope so.
And so you return to your old friend.
For counsel, consolation, and comfort.
For that compliment, everything is forgiven. You may help yourself to the brandy.
Thank you.
But one thing makes me curious. Saturday afternoon is a very unusual time for you to call. Do you intend to make it your regular appointment?
No. It was just for this one occasion. I need the distraction.
Oh. Something is going on. Something you need to forget?
Possibly.
Something important?
Something I once thought important.
You prefer not to tell me.
You're bound to find out sooner or later. It's just that at this moment, the man I once regarded as a friend is getting married to the woman I had hoped would be my wife.
Edward David, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife? Fiona Mary, wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband?
You have me to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer.
With this ring I be wed, with my body I be worshipped.
Those whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
What a beautiful girl.
What a charming fellow.
What a lovely wedding.
What a wonderful reception.
What spiffing champagne.
Very distinguished couple.
Staying at our hotel during their honeymoon.
Everyone looked up every time they entered the dining room.
They didn't notice. They'd only got eyes for each other.
You know, they're back. They're giving us dinner with their
My dear, what a hostess. Have you been to one of her soirees?
Rather a languid chap. Very clever, of course. And she's extremely charming.
My dear, Fiona Douglas... I mean Fiona Sterling. You know she married Teddy.
Well, I heard that's just what she did. A very determined young lady.
Congratulations on another fine speech, my dear Manners. I sat through it all. I listened intently.
Thank you, Prime Minister. That is indeed encouragement.
Keeper of the country's conscience. You deserve the title. Keep it up. Keep it up. You've forced the government's hand.
You should know, sir.
My dear chap, I can't do anything with them. By the way, I hear very good things of your friend Teddy Sterling and his young wife. I'm told she's doing him a power of good.
So I gather.
Glad to hear it. Perhaps she's just what he needed. Well, forgive me, my dear Manners.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
Perhaps she is what he needed.
She's just what he needed. There's no doubt about it, Cyril. The marriage is a success.
Very glad to hear it, my dear. Anything that makes our little Fiona happy.
Oh, she's happy, and he's twice the man he was.
I always liked Teddy. Good fella. Lots of money.
I always felt he'd have a great career if he could only get ambition. She'll give it him.
Mother, it was the most brilliant speech. You should have heard the reception.
Darling, I'm delighted.
And it's only the beginning. Mark my words, I'm going to keep him at it. It's just 6 months since we married. In another 6 months, he'll be sitting on the front bench.
Madame sends her compliments, sir. She'll be with you immediately. She says, will you take your usual glass of port?
Thank you, my dear.
Is it to your taste, sir?
Very much to my taste. As you are, my dear.
Thank you, sir. My dear James. May I join you?
Of course.
I trust Louise looks after you well.
Very well.
Thank you, Louise. You may go now.
Very well, madame. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my dear.
Is she a good girl?
A very good girl.
I knew you would like her. When she arrived last week, she burst into tears and said, madame, I'm a very bad girl. So I kept her specially for you.
You're very thoughtful.
And now I want my reward.
The gossip.
Of course.
Alas, very little happened.
Oh, come, come.
A certain gentleman we know, after a prolonged honeymoon, is making a new reputation for himself.
Well, Teddy Sterling. His marriage suits him.
Very well, apparently. He started taking his career seriously. He often speaks in the house, and to good purpose.
Oh, and this is all the consequence of his marriage. I hear she's charming.
Charming. And extremely confident.
So I gather.
You have other sources of information?
Oh, I have many. It is very necessary for me to know what is going on. And what of you?
I wage my campaign single-handed. I have no illusions about its outcome, but that is not the point. It makes me the focus of attention.
Oh, very successful focus. Your name is often in the papers.
That is not everything. One standing in the press does not necessarily affect one standing in the house.
But your standing in the house is very good, according to my information.
Indeed. May I inquire the source?
The gentleman we were discussing.
Teddy Sterling. But that is not a very recent view. Much water has swept under the bridge since he married.
That is an opinion he expressed only the other week.
The other week? Where did you run into him?
Where do you imagine?
Here. He dropped in to see you.
Oh, why not? We're good friends.
Of course.
You know, he likes to talk.
To talk, yes. This was just an isolated visit.
No.
He still pays regular calls.
Just as you do.
Yes, dear lady, but talk is only one of my activities.
Of course.
Let me be quite clear.
He comes to see me as usual.
Just as he used to? Nothing has changed?
Why should it?
Why should it? He's only just married.
Oh, my dear James.
He's been married only 6 months, dear lady, not 6 years.
Oh, les anglais. What is the time limit?
It's not a question of time. It's a question of taste, I imagine.
It's a question of life, James. Oh, you are a man of the world.
I sincerely hope I am. But how long has it been the stamp of a man of the world to treat his wife like a woman of the streets?
I cannot accept the honorable member's strictures. Of course I believe in progress. What I am doubtful about are progressives. Progressives are always so sure what is going to happen, and I have my reservations about their certainty. I think they base their anticipations of the future too much on their experience of the past. their future is always yesterday's future, and the trouble with yesterday's future is that it never happens tomorrow.
Teddy.
My dear James.
Quite the best speech of the evening.
Thank you.
I meant to speak myself, but to follow would have been an anticlimax.
That is a compliment.
I take it that you're now well settled in your home life?
Yes, indeed. We have gathered up all the old threads. Fiona is an admirable hostess. You must come and see us.
I will await your wife's invitation with pleasure. By the way, there is a small matter I should talk to you about.
Oh?
It is for your private ear.
I see. Shall we look for a corner to retire to?
I think we are sufficiently isolated here. I have been made a little uneasy on your account by some indiscreet talk in a certain quarter.
I understand.
I'm a little disappointed in the lady. I suspect that the withdrawal of an old client has aroused her malice, and that this has caused her to make lying statements.
Of what nature?
She asserts that you continue your patronage, despite the change of circumstances.
I must come to the lady's defense. She is not lying.
She maintains that your visits are of more than a social nature.
That is correct. The lady is perfectly honorable within her dishonorable limits.
I found what she told me difficult to believe.
Did you? Old habits die hard.
I see. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
I'd put it the other way. The spirit is unwilling, but the flesh is strong.
I would have thought there were ancillary considerations which would help.
It depends on one's point of view.
I mean, respect for one's career, if not one's wife.
I have plenty of respect for both. But siren songs still keep singing.
Didn't Ulysses block his ears?
I believe he did. James, the chief whip, is making signals. You must excuse me.
Excuse you? I will not.
Mother, I must be the last. Forgive me.
Oh, of course, my dear. But where is it?
Well, that's why I'm late. A messenger arrived just as we were leaving. The Prime Minister wants to see him.
No. What does it mean?
I'm pretty sure, but I'm not saying.
Ministry?
I'd better go through.
Don't mention this to anyone, and don't tell Papa.
Of course not. Oh, Fiona, James Manners is here.
Oh, that's all right. The breach is healed. He's dining with us. At least I've asked him.
Mrs. Sterling.
Mr. Manners.
Thank you so much for your invitation to dinner. I received it this morning.
I trust you're able to come.
My reply should be with you in the morning. Your husband is here?
Unfortunately, he had to return to the house.
Perhaps it was not so unfortunate. There are plenty of rumors, and they are all favorable.
It's very kind of you to say so. Naturally, one hopes.
I think you may do more than hope.
You do. You really do.
I'm sure nothing stands in your husband's way of advancement now.
Yes. You hesitated, Mr. Manners.
Save his own folly.
Whatever do you mean?
I can explain what I mean, Mrs. Sterling. And I will, if you will allow me to take you into my confidence.
What is it you wish to say?
What I wish to say is something of a very delicate and personal nature. Something that touches you closely.
Do you mean it's something you wish to tell me alone?
It is something for your ear only.
Mr. Manners, for obvious reasons, I can't ask you to come to my house without my husband's knowledge.
Quite so. Then you must choose some neutral ground where we can talk without disturbance.
But where? My parents' house, here? How can that be arranged? What is it? Can't you give me some hint? Some clue?
Very well. I will. Let us set morality aside. There are certain indulgences society tacitly allows to men on account of strong natural inclinations.
I know perfectly well, Mr. Manners. We've discussed social questions together. I was not ignorant even before my marriage.
Quite so, Mrs. Sterling. But did you suspect it was not just the lower orders who bought love like any commodity?
I know that men do. Some men, at any rate, whatever their social status.
And did it ever occur to you that you might know such men?
Not particularly. What are you trying to tell me, Mr. Manners?
I'm trying to tell you that you did. But it is not the past I'm concerned with, Mrs. Sterling.
You're trying to tell me that someone I knew, I know, bought women.
And continues to do so.
I don't believe you.
I didn't expect you would.
Why are you telling me this? For revenge?
There is no question of revenge. I'm giving you a warning.
I'm doing it for your sake and for his. For your happiness and for his career. Both may be secured if this folly is stopped now. It is not.
Yes.
There can only be disaster.
Mr. Manners, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. Look, we can't talk any more now. You must come and see me. Come tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock while my husband's at the house.
Very well.
You must tell me everything. Oh, God, I never expected this.
Here comes your mother.
Fiona, darling. Mr. Manners, perhaps you can inform me. What is the name of this tune? One hears it everywhere.
I know it well, Lady Cynthia, but I'm afraid I'm no authority.
Do you know, Fiona?
Yes, Mama. It's called The Skater's Waltz.
Fiona, darling.
Teddy.
Sorry I'm so late.
The news?
What we expected.
Parliamentary Secretary.
The Home Office.
The Home Office? Oh, my darling, aren't you delighted?
Very. I must confess, I never expected the Home Office. Poor old James Manners will feel pretty put out.
It's not true. I don't believe it.
You can't believe it, but it is.
You mean my husband leaves me here, his wife of a few months, to go to some harlot?
You put it very bluntly.
How else can I put it?
You can say he finds it difficult to break with old associations of long standing.
Where does this woman keep her establishment?
I know the address.
Oh, you've been there?
Oh, yes.
You've made use of her services?
I know her well.
Take me to her.
You don't know what you're asking.
I want to hear the story from her own lips.
What good will that do?
I'll know she's lying.
But I've already told you. He himself admitted it.
I can't talk to him. It'll break our marriage. It'll ruin everything. I can talk to her. One woman listens to another.
She will listen, but what will she do? You imagine she can be persuaded?
I did not say I'd use persuasion.
What will you use, then?
The force of moral right, the right every wife possesses for her husband. Take me to her.
My dear Fiona, Mrs. Sterling, it is not possible. You cannot set foot in a place of that kind.
I can. I will. If you won't take me, I'll find out where she lives and go and see her.
You must not. You don't know what you're dealing with. There could be a dreadful scandal.
Better a scandal than a tragedy. Look, what do you expect of me? To stand and watch my husband ruin his career, his health, his life, in silence?
No, I do not.
Then take me to her.
I repeat, you do not know what you're dealing with.
Then I'll find out.
The lady to see you, madame.
Ah, oh, madame. Come in.
Thank you.
Please sit down, madame.
I prefer to stand. The gentleman who brought me here...
Mr. Manners.
...will be returning. When the carriage arrives at the side entrance, will you kindly have me informed?
All is arranged, madame. I do assure you.
Thank you.
Well, won't you sit down, madame? Well, if you stand, then I must stand, and... I am not so young.
Very well. Madame, I'm afraid your name escapes me.
My friends just call me Madame X. It is so simple.
I see.
Madame, I do assure you everything has been arranged with the utmost discretion. No one will come in. Oh, won't you lift your veil?
I prefer not to.
I understand.
I believe the gentleman, Mr. Manners... has explained to you
the circumstances of your visit. You wish to make inquiries about your husband, Mr. Sterling.
Very well. Tell me, used he to come here in the past, before my marriage?
He did.
Does he continue to do so?
He does.
And this house is a brothel?
Yes.
That is the reason he comes here?
It is.
Can you prove this?
I could, if I wished to.
How?
It is not difficult for these girls to wheedle a keepsake from their gentlemen, especially if they are generous, as Mr. Sterling. Suppose I send you some article that you recognize. A ring, for instance. Would that convince you?
I think it would.
Well, I will do so.
I want this proof, if you can furnish it. Meanwhile, I accept your word because it's supported by Mr. Manners. I take what you've told me to be true.
You are very kind.
Madame, have you ever loved a man?
Quite a few, I think.
Have you ever loved a husband?
Loved and hated.
How did you feel when they were unfaithful to you?
It hurt.
And how did you feel when they consorted casually with women out of lust, and not because they loved them?
I suffered and put up with it.
Well, I do not intend to.
Oh, you are young and hopeful.
My husband is on a threshold of a great career. A door, the first, has just been opened. I married him from love, but also because I knew I could help him. Men are not all of a piece. The strong are sometimes weak. And weak women can be strong. I mean to be strong for my husband. I mean to save him. One way or another, I shall stop him coming here. I don't care what lengths I go to.
Oh, madame. Your voice burns with devotion. What fervor. Behind that veil, your eyes are flashing. I respect you.
Do you respect my wishes?
I must.
Then will you do what I ask?
And that is?
Bar my husband from your house forever.
I will.
You will?
On one condition.
What's that?
That if I cease to let him come here, you will come instead.
I don't understand.
Oh, it's quite simple. I enjoy your husband's company. He is gay and entertaining. He knows the fashionable world. He brings me all the gossip. I cannot move in such exalted circles, but I must keep contact with them. He helps me to do so. If I lose him, I would like someone else to turn to, someone who knows his world and is as clever. I would like to turn to you.
But that wouldn't mean that I came to see you, that I paid regular and frequent visits.
Once a week. Oh, there is another little matter. I am a woman in the way of business. I depend upon it. I have expenses, a house to run and girls to keep. Your husband paid most generously.
How much did he pay you?
£25 for every visit.
I see. You want me to keep the payments up.
Oh, don't misunderstand me. I need the money. I want your company.
And that's your price.
Oh, is it so high? Oh, you said you did not care what lengths you went to.
True.
Well, then.
All right. I accept your terms. But I must see your proof first.
Well, you shall have it.
How shall I know that you are keeping your bargain?
Oh, your husband and Mr. Manners are on confidential terms. A few careful questions by Mr. Manners should assure you that I am not cheating. But I would suggest you tell no one of our arrangement. That is between ourselves.
It shall certainly be my secret.
Very good. Then I shall expect you at this time on the Tuesday following the day you get the keepsake.
I give you my word.
I will see if your carriage has come. I have one small request to make.
What's that?
Before you go, raise your veil for just one moment.
Very well.
You are very beautiful.
Madame.
Oh, has the lady's carriage come, Louise?
It's just arrived at the side door, madame.
Thank you. We shall meet again, then.
Yes.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
The government aren't doing too badly. They've bucked up a lot since this last lot of changes. I'll tell you who's making quite a mark for himself. Young Teddy Sterling. I must confess, I'm surprised.
He's the Home Secretary's right hand. In fact, he deals with most of the questions. His marriage seems to have cured him of all that lackadaisical nonsense.
James Manners seems to have quite faded out of the picture. One never hears his name these days. At one time, his speeches were always being reported.
I believe he was very disappointed over the last government shuffle.
Fiona was always a serious-minded girl, but very lively. Now she's become so quiet. I can't help wondering.
You mean the marriage?
But it's less than a year, surely it can't
Perhaps
be.
Perhaps it's just the cares of being the wife of a parliamentary secretary.
Teddy, darling, here you are at last.
Good morning, my dearest. I'm sorry I'm so late down.
You were late enough last night. Never mind, everything's beautifully hot on the sideboard. Help yourself.
Thanks. I had to go back after the debate. There was a lot to clear up.
Sir William wanted to see me about the police bill.
Oh, he does keep you at it. Why is he pressing so? Surely there's plenty of time.
The measure's very dear to his heart. Perhaps there's something I ought to tell you.
Yes?
The police reform bill is the one thing he really cares about. When that goes through, he'll feel his work's completed.
You don't mean...
He's a very sick man, darling.
He's going to resign.
Well, there's no knowing. He's under constant watch by his doctors. That's why he's involved me so closely. He's determined whatever happens, the bill goes through as he wants.
Teddy, is there a possibility that...
Oh, my dear. That's most unlikely. Well, you never know. Stranger things have happened.
Why shouldn't it happen to you?
Why not? With you behind me, everything's possible. Are you coming to hear me this afternoon?
Of course. Oh.
What?
Oh, how stupid.
I know, it's Tuesday. Your shopping afternoon at Bradley's.
Teddy, it's not just that, but I ordered this material 3 weeks ago and insisted it should be made up by today.
Then you must certainly go, or you'll never be able to hold up your head in that store again.
Oh, Teddy, that is kind.
Come along when you've done your shopping. I'll give you tea and tell you how it went.
And I should look forward to that. So fancy forgetting this afternoon. I can't forgive myself for being such a fool.
You can't forgive yourself for being a fool, darling, for the simple reason that you aren't one.
Thank you, Greaves.
Usual time, madam?
4:30. I'll try not to keep you waiting.
Very good, madam. Bradley's store, madam.
Thank you. Oh, there's something I'd like to study in one of your windows. I'll go round by the other entrance.
Very good, madam. Cab, lady!
Thank you.
Where to, lady?
Drop me at the intersection of Rochester Row and Vauxhall Terrace. Go over there, in the light. Turn round slowly. Now put back your veil. Oh, it's chic, très chic. You're going on somewhere.
I'm going on to the house. My husband is speaking.
Why, you're doing credit?
I don't think so. I shall be too late to hear him.
Oh, what a pity. Never mind. Come and sit down. You look sad, ma chère.
I hate all this deception I have to practice.
You're not the first. Didn't your husband practice a little deception?
That's all over.
Oh. What did you do with the signet ring I sent you?
I locked it away. I never want to see it.
Then take my advice and put it where you can't avoid it. Let it remind you every time you see it what he has done to you and will do.
No.
Ma chère, don't be naive. You know what men are. They stray like lost sheep. If one little girl was able to wheedle that ring from him, don't you think another little girl will be able to do so again?
All that is past. He's on a new road now.
Oh, indeed. And what new road is this?
His political career.
Oh, that. Oh, we shall see. If you don't like deception, I doubt if politics will make you happy.
Some politicians have clean hands.
And some actors have sincerity. That doesn't stop the show becoming a masquerade.
Is that what you think
life is? Yes, a masquerade. A huge deception where everyone takes everyone else in.
But why? What's the purpose?
So that they will not be found out. Well, don't let us argue. Make yourself at home.
No, not brandy.
Oh, why not? One small glass.
Very well. Oh, I have something for you.
Oh, mademoiselle. 25 beautiful sovereigns.
Aren't you going to count them?
No, these are correct. I trust you.
I'm surprised you trust anyone.
I trust women. But tell me the news. What is happening with your husband? Do you ever see anything of Mr. Manners?
Waiter? A brandy.
Very good, sir.
Hello, my dear James.
Hello, Teddy. Refreshment after the battle.
Will you join me?
Thanks, no. I haven't earned it.
I'm not so sure I have.
I'm afraid I wasn't in the chamber. How did it go?
Not bad. Could have been much better. On the whole, I'm glad my wife wasn't in the gallery.
How is she? Well, I hope.
Very. By the way, I am indebted to you.
Indeed.
A little while ago, you were good enough to draw my attention to a delicate situation. The impact of your remarks was not lost. on thinking them over, I ended the arrangement with our friend upon the best of terms and to her considerable financial advantage. I even allowed her my signet ring as a keepsake.
Was that wise?
Well, you know what I am. I cannot refuse a lady. Ah, here comes my brandy.
Your drink, sir.
Thank you.
The lobby steward asked me to give you this, Mr. Manners.
Thanks. Who wants to see me now? Damn.
An importunate constituent?
An importunate editor. Stevens of the Witness.
The Yellow Peril.
I can't stand the man, but I'd better see him. You must excuse me.
Be careful. You'll have to come down to his level. Remember to step off the curb and stand in the gutter.
Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Manners.
Pray be seated. What can I do for you?
A great deal, Mr. Manners, and I hope I can return the compliment.
Indeed.
Mr. Manners, following your great crusade,
yes.
My paper has embarked upon a long, very thorough investigation.
Of what?
Of sexual vice, of the hidden degradation which is undermining our people. We prepared a report and a series of articles on it. I have the report here. It's highly confidential. I think you might care to read it.
I see.
Everything in it bears out precisely what you've been saying.
Oh, yes. Mr. Stevens, I must confess I've grown a little weary in this matter. Although I'm delighted to think I've won the support of your paper, I believe it would need the entire press of Great Britain to move the government at present in this matter. They have too many preoccupations.
All I would ask you to do now is to study this report, Mr. Manners, and then read the articles. I think you won't feel your time has been wasted. In fact, I'll stake my reputation as a journalist that you'll see your way to join with us to force the government to take effective action.
That's the gist of the report, madam. What do you think?
But of course, it's true. London is the worst city in Europe. Why, everyone knows. It is almost as bad as Constantinople.
I bow to your authority.
I am no authority, my friend. Not in that respect. My life is not driven snow, but I avoid the slush.
Action should be taken, but I'm not very happy taking it with the Witness.
Why not? It's a good paper. Everyone reads it.
Everyone does not read good papers. It's a gutter journal.
It's very patriotic.
That kind of patriotism is the clean bed cover for dirty sheets. What it likes is scandal. It's got a reputation for uncovering nasty smells and hoping they'll linger. Besides? What good is this going to do me?
I like you, James. You're so honest.
The last campaign didn't achieve anything for me. Will it be better this time?
Well, that depends.
On what? Something you've heard?
It may be a question of health.
Tell me.
Oh, my dear James, it cost me a lot of time and patience and brandy.
How much do you want?
How much are you prepared to pay?
I'll double your fee.
Very well. The Home Secretary is a sick man.
He's going to resign?
He's on the cards.
When did you hear?
Day before yesterday.
Your source?
Reliable, very.
Who?
I am not at liberty.
I see. Thank you, my dear. I'll think this over.
You'll think it over and pay now?
With the greatest of pleasure.
Cab, sir.
Fleet Street, the Witness.
Very good, sir.
Quickly.
Ah, Mr. Manners. Come in.
I'm glad I've caught you, Mr. Stevens. I've read your report and your articles. I think we should work together.
These are not mere defenses. They are facts. Incontestable, authenticated facts. How long will the government continue to ignore them? Not all of us are dedicated readers of The Witness. Some may feel it veers too much towards sensationalism. But in this investigation, I say its conduct has been exemplary. And the British public is indebted to its editor. On his own initiative and without encouragement, he has uncovered a state of affairs which must appall and horrify his readers. It is a smear upon the national honor, a great betrayal of our people. Why then does the government not act? Or are there people in high places who hold their hands because they have their reasons?
I know we're stretched, Teddy. But we'll have to give way to him a little. He's making us look as if we'd something to hide.
Have you any idea what he really wants us to do?
I think so, Sir William. He's got a list of 60 of these establishments. He wants raids on 20 of the worst offenders.
All right. Let him put his list in. I'll pass it to the commissioner for his comments. And then we can hold a meeting and let him and Stevens air their proposals. We'd better call the city police in, too. What do you think?
I think that's the proper course of action.
Good. Well, I'll leave it to you. But does that conclude the business?
That's the last on the agenda.
Very well. Oh, by the way, I had a talk with the PM yesterday.
Oh, yes?
I told him I couldn't go on much longer. I gave him my views on the police bill most strongly. I said I might not be able to see it through, in which case...
I understand.
He took my point. Well, there we are.
Thank you, Sir William.
And you'll have a word with our friend, the Honourable Member for Brothels. I suppose he knows that's what they're calling him.
Somehow. She seems very tired and worried.
She always appears to be under a strain. Is it the strain of being married to a politician? Or is it the strain of marriage?
Going so soon, my darling?
I promised Teddy an early night, Mama. I hope you don't mind.
Of course not. You're looking very tired. I'm sure you're doing too much. You ought to get away from it all, darling. Why don't you come down to Kimpton?
Kimpton? Oh. I'd love to see Kimpton again. Those days seem so far away.
Well, you go home now.
I must see to my guests.
Good night, Mama.
Good night, my darling.
Good evening, Mrs. Sterling.
Mr. Manners.
Surely you're not leaving this splendid gathering so early.
Alas, I'm afraid I must, Mr. Manners. I've other calls upon me.
Are they so pressing that you cannot spare me a moment?
No. What is it?
I was wondering...
Yes?
Do any of these... calls upon your time come from a certain quarter. An address we both know.
Why should you think they do?
I've reason to believe that your contact with a certain woman has not ceased since I gave my introduction.
I was very grateful for that service. It achieved everything I wanted.
Perhaps. And what was the price?
I'm not in the business of buying and selling, Mr. Manners.
That is why I fear that someone more experienced in commerce may be levying an unwarrantable toll upon you.
I'm very grateful for your concern, but I assure you it's unjustified. Now, I really must be going. Will you excuse me?
Let me accompany you to the door, at least.
Thank you.
Just one more question?
Yes?
Did you know that the Home Secretary is in very poor health?
What? Who told you?
Good night, Mrs. Sterling.
Your voice, darling.
This endless deception. It's ruining my life. It's ruining my marriage.
Don't you think, dear?
It'll kill me, I swear it.
Pull yourself together. You have had too much brandy.
You forced it on me.
I forced you nothing. You don't have to drink it. You don't have to come here.
I gave you my word.
Well, you don't have to keep it.
I can't break my promise. It's against my whole upbringing.
Then you've been brought up most unwisely. You are disheveled. Go and look at yourself in the mirror.
I feel so, so humiliated.
If you think calling on me is humiliation, you should try working here. Oh, come and sit down.
What am I to do?
What time are you expected?
4:00.
Oh, you will not be late if you leave soon.
Looking like this.
Well, what is wrong? You send a message to say you were not well. Oh, your husband will certainly believe it when he sees you. It will do no harm. He will think you are a good, brave wife forcing yourself to come out for his sake.
I can't bear this horrible deception.
Very well. Let this visit be your last.
Do you mean that, really?
Now, what pleasure is it having you here, crying and sobbing and looking wan? But I still want my payment. I won't break your heart. But I'll break your pocket.
I'll send your payments, I promise.
Very well. Now, what news have you? Tell me about our friend James Manners. Why should you think it was from me he got that information about the Home Secretary?
Because I told you.
But why should I tell him? I am always very discreet. Besides, he has many sources of information.
Yes.
Yes, he has.
He's very alert to hear all the gossip, especially what goes on in the Home Office. He looks at it with greedy eyes. Well, that is why he leads this crusade.
You think it's only based on personal ambition?
Of course.
Doesn't it sometimes make you a little uneasy?
But why? Oh, my dear child. This is a very different kind of house from the sort he wants suppressed. My patron, Raoul, très distingué. Besides, dog does not eat dog. James Manners and I are old friends.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for your cooperation. Your evidence has been invaluable, Mr. Stevens, and admirably presented. It seems we are all agreed immediate action should be taken. I gather that is the view of the police commissioner?
Indeed, Sir William. We should start raiding these places without delay.
Very good. Are there any other points to be considered?
I should like to add just one address to our list, Sir William.
Yes, Mr. Manners. Will you note it, please, Inspector?
It's a large house in the Western District, number 1 Rushton Drive. I will point it out on the map. It is run by a lady calling herself Madam X. She is of foreign origin. That's all I know about her. Here it is. Close to the intersection of Rochester Row and Vauxhall Terrace.
Very well. And now you go. But don't forget, you will receive your payments regularly, I promise.
Oh, I'll believe you.
Goodbye, then. Goodbye, madame.
Fiona.
Yes? Come and see me sometimes.
Come and see you.
I am a very lonely woman.
The papers, madam.
Thank you, Saunders. Put them on the sideboard.
Very good, madam.
Good morning, darling.
Teddy, darling.
How did you sleep?
Well, thank you.
Good. Let me look at you. Yes, you're better. How's the headache?
Quite gone.
Excellent. I shall eat a good breakfast.
You always do, darling. Help yourself.
Good God.
What is it? Something in the newspapers?
Sir William's dead.
Dead?
Home Secretary dies of heart attack. Last night, apparently. Just after he left the house.
There's a gentleman to see you, madam. Mr. Manners.
Forgive this intrusion.
What can I do for you, Mr. Manners? Oh, please, be seated.
I will only keep you a moment. I have some information of a confidential nature.
You may feel at perfect liberty to talk here.
Very well. My dear Fiona, any debts and undertakings with which you may have encumbered yourself on account of another are a thing of the past.
What do you mean?
A certain establishment, we both know, is about...
Evil woman.
Not evil. Just corrupt. What has she done to you these last few months? Hasn't she brought you down? Undermined your certainties? I've watched it happening.
Yes, it's true.
Now you can forget her.
Forget? That's the one thing I can't do.
The Honorable Edward Sterling. The Honorable Edward Sterling. Mr. Sterling, sir.
What is it?
The Chief Whip's compliments, sir. Can you spare him a moment? Here he comes, sir.
Yeah, Edward, my dear fellow. Excuse the rush. Prime Minister would like to see you this afternoon. About 5 o'clock?
I will hold myself in readiness.
Oh, good. 5 o'clock, then. That's noted. Yeah, this is indeed a sad day.
I knew Sir William was not well, but his death is a great shock.
Great shock. Great loss. Sad day for all of us.
Lady, where to?
Drop me at the intersection of Rochester Row and Vauxhall Terrace.
A lady to see you, madame.
A lady? Who is it?
I don't know her name, ma'am. She's been here before.
Open the door a little.
Madame, I've got to see you.
Oh, come in. Close the door. Why are you here? I thought we had said goodbye.
After
time.
They're raiding this house.
Rubbish.
It's true, I heard today.
And I heard. Weeks ago, there's no danger. I am very careful to keep well informed and make friends with people who are influential. I have it on the very best assurance that whatever happens to these other places will not happen here.
Open this door, please.
Don't panic. Go and let them in.
Yes, madame.
It's no good you're trying to leave now. They'll be watching all the doors. Stand over there where it is dark. Keep a back turn.
We are officers of the Metropolitan Police and have a search warrant. We would like to speak to the lady of the house.
Ask the gentleman to come this way. Who's behind all this?
James Manners.
James Manners. Mon Dieu. Put not your trust in politicians.
Good morning, madam. You are the lady of the house?
I am. You are a policeman with a warrant?
That is correct. We have reason to suspect that these premises are being used for immoral purposes.
This is a perfectly respectable house, and I'm a perfectly respectable person.
We have reasons to think otherwise, madam. My men are now carrying out a search. Will you be so good as to give me your name?
My name is X. Louise Gabrielle X.
Louise. How do you spell your last name, please?
Y-X-S. You may call me Madame X, as I am known in the highest quarters.
You're not an English lady, are you?
I am neither English nor a lady. I am Belgian.
And now, may I have the name of the lady standing over there, please?
She has nothing to do with this place. She is here by chance.
All the same, I'd like her name, please.
It is quite unnecessary.
Will you give me your name, please,
leave
madam?
Her alone.
Would you mind not interfering with the execution of my duty?
It is all right for you to interfere with my business, but I am not to interfere with yours.
Would you give me your name, please, madam? Will you please turn round so I can see you?
Oh, God. Why did this have to happen?
Prime Minister?
Come in, my dear Edward. Sit down. I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. It's been an extremely harassing day.
It must have been.
Sir William's death, it's like losing one's right hand.
He's a great loss to the country.
Great loss. Well, my dear Edward, this is not, I'm afraid, the conversation I'd hoped to have. Something unexpected has suddenly arisen. It has precipitated a situation which, to say the least, is most embarrassing. I find it very painful to have to raise so personal a matter. But I must, since it impinges on your public office. The long and the short of it is that as a result of what has come to light within these last few hours, I have regretfully, most regretfully, to ask you for your resignation.
Don't worry, darling. Nothing will come out. There'll be no scandal.
What does that matter? We'll stop your resignation.
That was inevitable.
I've ruined your career.
What nonsense.
What a fool I've been.
You did everything you could. It's all my fault.
I should have trusted you. I should have come to you in the first place.
How could you have trusted me when you knew I'd already betrayed
you? I was wrong from the beginning. Teddy, I want to go away.
Of course. We can go abroad for a while.
No, I'd like to go to Kimpton for a few weeks. By myself.
That's a good idea.
I want to think things over.
Very well.
What about you?
Oh, don't worry about me. I'll have plenty of time now.
Well, you've still got your constituency business.
No.
What do you mean?
Darling, I've applied for the Chiltern Hundreds.
You're resigning your seat as well. No.
Fiona, darling, don't cry. It's very distressing to see a proud young woman weeping.
Oh, Teddy. Teddy, I meant to do so much. I was so confident. And I knew so little.
Hello, James. My dear Teddy, let me be among the first to congratulate you.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll make a memorable Home Secretary.
I wonder. I understand you've applied for the Chiltern Hundreds.
Yes.
What are you going to do now?
Enjoy myself, travel, live a leisured life, slip back to the old way.
Why?
Isn't that what she wants, really?
Why should you break up your marriage? It's very inconvenient. Well, she can go her way. You can go yours. Everything can be arranged.
I don't think arrangements of that kind appeal to her.
No, probably not. She's full of ideals. But she does not know life. That was quite absurd, her coming to warn me.
She wanted to warn you?
So she said afterwards. It was a kind of loyalty. Mon Dieu. Did she imagine I couldn't look after myself?
Well, if she did, she was very mistaken.
Well, you see, she is naive. Charming, intelligent, but naive. She is not discreet. And without discretion, there is nothing. Discretion is the final measure. You must not be found out. All else, c'est la folie.
All else is folly. Yes, you're probably right. After all, what is life? But nothing. Going nowhere.
Folly by Malcolm Stewart, Teddy was played by Richard Kay, James by John Fulham, Fiona by Fiona Walker, and Madam X by Sheila Grant. Lady Cynthia, Catherine Parr, Sir Cyril, Michael Kilgariff, the Prime Minister, William Fox, Sheila, Jan Edwards, Louise, Sandra Clark, the Home Secretary, Rolf Lefevre, and Mr. Stevens, David Goodison. The many other parts were played by Diana Bishop, Nigel Graham, Anthony Hall, Gail McFarlane, John Sampson, and William Slay. And the play was produced by Charles Lefoe.